You know, the night I got saved, I had no idea what all happened. If you think about it, your first birth was like that. Does anybody here remember what all happened on your first birth? No. You don't remember anything about it. I remember something about, like the old song says, I got one birth I can't remember, nothing I can't forget. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I don't remember being born the first time. And if you do, you're a very weird person or you're a liar. I don't think nobody remembers their first birth. You're a smart little bugger if you remember your first birth. But what happened when you got saved? Acts 16:31, this old boy got saved here, and he said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That is not a promise that everybody gets saved, everybody in their family gets saved. That was proof. We'll talk about that some other time, but it is a promise that if you'll trust the Lord Jesus, that you're saved by the grace of God. I want to give you several things tonight, and I am going to ask you to turn. So I want you to keep your Bible open in your lap, just like we're sitting in a little small room somewhere having a big Bible study. That's what we're going to do tonight. First of all, number one, the first thing I want to mention tonight is I received forgiveness of sins. That's a big deal. That's a mighty big deal. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1, over there to your right just a little bit. Get familiar with your Bible now. Learn. You need to learn how to flip back and forth to these books in the Bible like it was nothing. You need to know where Ephesians is. Ephesians 1:7. Bible said, in whom we have redemption. I'll wait on you just a second. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So the first thing that happened to me when I got saved, I had forgiveness of sins. All sins. All my sins were erased. Not part of them. Not just the ones that wasn't really that bad. You know, there's some people think, well, God can forgive this, but not that. He might forgive you over here, but buddy, you'll never get forgiven of that. I'm glad they're all gone. You ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Listen, judicially, you are perfect and righteous in the eyes of God when you get saved. Your sins are gone. All your sins are forgiven. Man asked me one time, said, you believe that stuff about all your past sin, present sin, future sins paid? Yes, sir. All paid for. All, listen, all your sins was future when Jesus died on the cross. Wasn't he? None of them haven't been committed yet. Now, I understand God deals with us practically when we do wrong. We pay for our sins in this flesh. Judicially, your sins are all gone. Your record is clear. We'll study it another time, but you need to understand the difference between state and standing. A lot of preachers get their doctrine messed up because they can't get the difference between state and standing. Here's the difference. My standing in Christ is perfect. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me and garments spotless. Now, my state is however I happen to be living at any certain time. He deals with me practically. I might have messed up today. I might mess up tomorrow. I might just make a fool out of myself. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But my standing in Christ is perfect. I really liked what old Phil Kidd said in his testimony at the youth rally. And he said when he went to that psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist, he said, son, how can I help you? He said, help me get rid of this guilt. How do I get rid of this guilt? And you know, there's people carrying around a load of guilt, y'all. There's a lot of people out here living every day with murder. I had a guy confess a murder to me one time. Honest to goodness, I don't even know if he'd done it or not. He's drunk. Next day he called me and told me it didn't really happen. To this day, I don't know if it's true or not. But he's feeling guilt. I had another man call me one time. I didn't mess around with him after that. But I had another man tell me one time, he said he killed a man in the army and he took a knife and in the war, he said he crammed it down a man's throat. And he said, I can still hear that man scream. And his arms was that big around. And I said, my goodness, that'd be bad to live with. That'd be bad to live with. I mean, Lord have mercy. Can you imagine that? And even though he was in the service of his country, it still bothered him. Still bothered him. So what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Religion? No. Turn over a new leaf? No. Getting saved. Amen. I like that song we sang. I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Let it dawn on you tonight. When you got saved, your sins were all forgiven. And I'm going to tell you tonight, on the authority of that book, God will never mention them sins to you again. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's the first thing that happened. Number two. Let me give you something else that happened when you got saved. I passed from death to life. Think about that. John 5. Let's go back to John 5 just a minute. John chapter 5, the Lord's speaking here, and he's talking about when you believe on him, what happens to you. Look at John chapter 5. Now, all of this happened to you when you got saved. There's a lot happened to you at your first birth. There's a lot happened at that second one. John chapter 5 and verse 24. V. Riley, I say unto thee. That's what he said. That little old boy named V. Riley, remember him? He said, Jesus talked to him all the time, man. But anyway, he said, verily, verily, surely, surely, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, not will have, not hope to have, hath, right now, present tense, and shall not come into condemnation, but is, present tense, passed from death to life. Now, let me just say something about this. The Lord showed me something about this evening that I'd never even thought of before. I'm getting ready to give it to you. It said we pass from death to life. So before you get saved, you're dead in trespasses and sin. Now you move, your body moves, your mouth moves, you eat, but you're dead. Spiritually. You know everybody out here living in sin? They're dead. Before you got saved, you was dead in trespasses and sin. Remember that woman, the Bible said, when she's wicked, said she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. They're out there, all these people out here partying and stuff, they're dead. Just a bunch of dead people out there. Spiritually dead. Live body. Now, when you get saved, you pass from death to life. You then have a live spirit and your dead body. Your body's dead. This old body is dead. You reckon yourself dead every day. And you know, I'm not a fan of this. Everybody says it nowadays. Said, pray for my family. Grandmother passed yesterday. So-and-so passed yesterday. That means they died. But they're trying to dress it up a little bit so it don't sound so gory. So people just say, Mama passed, or my neighbor passed the other day. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's what you're doing is like saying it makes it not. It's like calling a graveyard a memorial park. Memorial park sounds a lot nicer than graveyard. Alcoholism sounds a lot better than sot. So you say he passed. You know, she passed. And Jesus used that word, passed from death unto life. So you reckon this? Like we say when somebody dies, they passed. They're alive and then they die. Guess what happened when you got saved? You passed from death to life. Opposite of dying. Ain't that something? So did you hear about so-and-so the other day? They passed. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. No, they got saved. They didn't pass. They didn't die and go to the funeral home. They got saved. They passed from death. That's what the Lord said. They passed from death unto life. Is that not the neatest thing? I've never even seen that till this season when I was studying. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now what you got to do, you got to reckon this old flesh dead every morning. You can kill it today, it'll be back tomorrow morning. Like what old Ruckman said, he said he'd get up in the morning and he'd shave and he'd say, all right, what are you up to now? You know, that's the meanest person you got to deal with all day long, that one you see in the mirror. Amen. And you reckon yourself dead every day. All right, let's go another one. Listen to this one. Number three, I became a new creature. I became a new creature. 2 Corinthians, you know the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Hallelujah. Every bit of this is absolute shouting ground. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah in Jesus' name. Every bit of this is shouting ground. I'm going to show you something out of the Bible. I don't think I got it in here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me show you what else happened when you got saved. Therefore, if any man, now when it says any man, it's talking about men, women, boys, and girls. Any human being. Any mature Christian woman that loves God is not one bit offended by him using the word man there. They get all bent out of shape. Well, what about the women? What? Just don't worry about it, okay? You might not even be included if you're that wicked. When it says, if any man be in Christ, it don't matter that it don't say women. Of course, you say, well, it means humans. Well, that's man, human, women. I mean, it means everybody. Don't go crazy. I mean, I just go crazy all the time. Every person, that's son. Anybody. It's humanity, mankind. Mankind, womankind, kidkind, childkind, boykind, girlkind. Therefore, if any man, boy, carol, woman, boy, girl, you all right now? Be in Christ, he, she, her, him, whoever, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Two or three things right quick. We are a new creature. Now, everybody in this church, you don't have no problem with this. But people who watch me on the internet, there's thousands of them, and most of them don't. They understand that it says creature, and it means creature. It does not mean creation. All the new Bibles say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You are not a new creation when you get saved. You are a new creature. In that, a new man moves inside you, and the flesh dies. It's still this same. I mean, you don't change. You're not recreated. Your hands still look the same. Your eyes still look the same. Your feet still look the same. Appearance-wise, your flesh don't even change. But you're a new creature in Christ. You are not a new creation from scratch. So the new Bibles are wrong. And you hear all, I hear Baptist preachers all the time say, you know, the Bible said if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And they got that because they teach out of the wrong Greek text at 90% of the colleges. They teach Westcott and Hort Greek text, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, and not from the correct Greek text. We're not studying Greek tonight, but I'm just saying the old book is right. You are a new creature. Say amen right there. That's right. The flesh, you are spiritually circumcised. Circumcision in the Old Testament is a picture of New Testament salvation. So you're circumcised, cut loose, cut. Your spirit is cut loose from your body and it's no longer tied to it. That's why in the Old Testament, soul and the body are spoken as one and the same. That's why it says the soul that sinneth it shall die. Them souls die. Their soul in the Old Testament was spoken of soul and body together. In the New Testament, they're separate. They're separate. And so the Lord made that distinction. You become a new creature. You are born of God. You are cut loose from your flesh. You are set free to live for the Lord. You have power to live right now that you never had before. You can have victory over sin. You are a new creature. And I can testify to y'all tonight. I can test you. I'm telling you, when I got saved, everything become different. Everything. The way I looked at everything. The way I felt about everything changed. It did not all change overnight. But in a few months, buddy, I'm telling you, people said, is that Danny Castle? What in the world happened to him? I became a new creature. I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. Amen. It happened to me. Hallelujah, y'all. That's shouting ground. All right. Number four. I became a son of God. A child of God, if that word son bothers you. I became a son of God. John chapter number 1. Now let's look here tonight. We can get into all kind of different rabbit trails on this study, but I'm trying to keep on subject here of what happens when you get saved. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what happened? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That's how you was born the first time. Nor of the will of man. Man didn't make it happen. God did. Now, a good, godly woman that loves the Lord is not offended one bit by that phrase, sons of God. We're all sons of God in the sense that we're all, he's our father. Don't get bent out of shape because it didn't say daughters. My goodness, it's crazy the way people think like that. If it said daughters, it would destroy all the cross references. It's right. To them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Quickly, let me say this very quickly. The sons of God are an extremely interesting study in the Bible. I hit on it once in a while. We'll get into it deeper sometime. It implies family, father, son. The sons of God originally are in Job 38, verse 7, and they shouted when God laid the foundations of the earth. So there were beings on this universe that were before Adam and Eve called the sons of God. And then when Adam was created, Adam was the crowning work of creation. God called, the Bible calls him the Son of God. Now listen to me carefully. When Adam sinned, God made Adam in his image. When Adam sinned, he lost that. He lost the image of God. And nobody on down through time was a son of God. Nobody in the Old Testament was called a son of God. David wasn't a son of God. Elijah wasn't a son of God. It don't say that. Adam lost that image. God made him in his image. People say, we're all made in God's image. No, we're not. Adam was. He lost it. We're in Adam's image. A fallen man. Adam had a son in his own image. If you're with me, nod your head. Bible said Adam had a son in his image. Lord have mercy, you don't think God looks like this, do you? I don't think so. We're fallen. But if you'd have seen Adam and Eve before they fell, you'd have seen something. You'd have seen a reflection of God. So Adam lost the image of God. So when Jesus Christ shows up, he is the image of God. So when you get saved, you become a son of God and get that image spiritually back. And one day we're going to look just like him. Now, that's why the Old Testament saints, listen to me, that's why the Old Testament saints did not go to heaven when they died. They went to paradise or Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to where God was because the blood of Jesus had not been shed yet. The blood of animals covered their sins and kept them hid so God could have mercy on them. And they were kept in Abraham's bosom. Then when Jesus died on the cross, the blood got shed. He went through paradise and they said, are you him? And he said, I'm him. Let's go. And he emptied paradise and moved it up to on high and took captivity captive. And then they got to graduate on into heaven. That's why I said the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats covered sin. The blood of bulls and goats covered it. They couldn't take it away. I guess what took it away? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Woo! Hallelujah. Listen, I'm about to shout my head off tonight. Listen, boy, you get in all this stuff like this, buddy. I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the image of God. They lost it. That's why that kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven stuff, they look so close, sometimes they're used interchangeably while Christ was here. But before that and after that, the kingdom of God is spiritual and the kingdom of heaven is literal, something you walk into. The kingdom of God, something can be in your heart. The kingdom of heaven is something you're going to touch. Now, sometimes they're mentioned together, and that's why it's so confusing. And most preachers try to make the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven exactly the same. And they are when the king's here. But when the king ain't here, there's only a spiritual kingdom. And one day in the millennium, there'll be a literal kingdom. Amen? Lord, I'm getting off on all these rabbit trails here tonight. And I hope I ain't trying to cram too much down your throat. I hope you can swallow this. But let's move on. Number five. You know what else happened to me when I got saved? I became a partaker of the divine nature. Well, that'll pop your brain. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter's way over there toward the end now. 2 Peter. And now if I have given you something tonight that you're confused about, pray about it, study about it, and see if what I'm telling you is right. Check it out with the scripture. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 4. Because some of the stuff I'm saying to you tonight is not preached in most churches around here. All right, or anywhere. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Have you ever studied that right there? By those promises, me and you are partakers of the divine nature. That's God, God's nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That divine nature. That by these, we escape the corruption of the world. And in other words, in one scripture, he said, we have the mind of Christ. So when you get saved, brother, you begin to think some of his thoughts, see things like God sees them, divide things like he divides them, look at things like he looks at them, with eternity in view that you never did. Listen, before I got saved, I didn't think of things like, how's it going to be in eternity? I looked at like, man, I wasted my Saturday. I didn't get to play ball 3 hours and go swimming the rest of the day. I wasted my Saturday. Now, if I did that, if I played ball 3 hours and went swimming, I'd say I wasted my Saturday. Because I think I need to pray, I need to visit, I need to do bus route, I need to work on my message for Sunday. I don't think I'm wasting my time now when I'm doing something for God or knocking on doors. You know why? I'm partakers of the divine nature. I'm thinking about eternity, not just now. Not just now. Now, I worry about people. Listen to me. I worry about people who claim to be Christians and all their thoughts, all their activities, all their desires are things of this world. I'm not the judge. I'm not saying who is saying who. I worry about people who have no, here's the way we say it, ain't got a spiritual bone in their body. I worry about people like that. And I'm not judging. I'm not saying who's saved and who ain't. Lord knows I got enough problem keeping myself straight. But I'm telling you, the Bible said we're partakers of divine nature. There'll be something in you that identifies with God and what's right. And the Bible, and I mean, we still have flesh, but we have something. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are not God, but brother, we have a human nature and divine nature inside us. That's why we're called a new creature. All right? Let's get another two, right? Two and I'm done. Number six. I became an heir of God. Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Back to your left for a little bit. Romans is right after Acts. Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 16. Tremendous chapter here. One of the greatest chapters in the New Testament is Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit, small s, of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hold your finger there just a second. That verse is loaded. First of all, that adoption. That adoption. Now you know, as well as I know, most of y'all know this. Listen, brother, you can dissolve a marriage. You can kick your own kid out. You can't get rid of an adopted child. You're stuck with them. They're yearn forever. Amen. It's undoable. I mean, you might get them took or something goes wrong, but adoption, listen, adoption implies you wasn't theirs and they took you in and made you theirs. Hallelujah. We're not just born of God. We're adopted. We're adopted. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but is anybody in here an adopted child? I don't know if there is or not. Is anybody in here? Jennifer? Is there another one in here? And sort of. Listen, if your parents adopted you, they can never disown you. You're heir, buddy. You're heir. You got it made. You got it made. You are heir to what they have. Now, that Abba, how many ever want to see that Abba Father? I don't mean this disrespectful, but that word Abba, the closest me and you could come to that word is we call him our daddy. Our daddy. I never did call my earthly daddy father. And if you did, that's okay if he's your earthly father. But I always called him daddy. How many of y'all in here called your daddy daddy or dad? I guess that's about everybody in here. Anybody in here call him father? Okay? I don't see anybody in here. But that word Abba is like our word dad. Now, I heard a guy praying one time and he said, "Oh, Daddy Jesus, we just love you, Daddy Jesus." That ain't right. That ain't right. Jesus ain't your daddy. You got to recognize that God the Father. You say, "I thought Jesus is God." He is. He's God. He's God the Son. So we'll get into that another time too. They fuss about that on the internet all the time. You ain't no Daddy Jesus. You ain't no hippie. But Abba implies that personal relationship, not just Father of all nations in the world, our personal dad, Abba. Now, let's read the rest of that scripture. Verse 16. I'm going to hit on something else here. The Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, it just blows up when you read a verse like that. You could write a book on that verse right there. First of all, the capital S means Holy Spirit. Second of all, itself. The commentators, the Bible teachers, the Greek teachers, the school teachers flip their lid and blow a fuse and go crazy and say, "He's not an it. He's a person. It's a him. You shouldn't call him an it." And they're just pitiful. It's pitiful how dumb somebody like that can be. He is a him. The Holy Spirit is a person. And it is absolutely proper to call him it when you're referring to his work. Let me ask you something. When he said, "That holy child Jesus, that thing that shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God." Thing. Call him a thing. Hadn't you ever seen a little baby and said, "Isn't it a cute little thing?" Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what my mom used to say all the time? "Bless its heart." Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong when you pick up a little baby. "Isn't it cute?" It's cute, isn't it? See? They go crazy. One Greek scholar found out the Holy Spirit was a person, and said, "Oh, you can't call him an it, can't call him an it." And that's one of the main faults they find with the King James Bible. And brother, if that's the best fault I could find with it, I'd throw in the towel, because it's 10 times worse. There's lies in the new versions. That ain't no fault. There ain't nothing wrong with calling the Holy Spirit it. Amen. I've heard preachers preach a half a sermon and say, "You should never call him an it." Well, you're just ripped up. You just said the Bible's wrong. And here's the difference between me and them. I believe it's right, and they believe it's wrong. They believe something they read about the Bible, and I believe the Bible. Amen. Come to this church, we ain't going to change one word of it. If it says it, it means it. Hallelujah. All right, we ain't through reading there. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Another great truth. How many times I've heard people ever since I've been saved, oh, Brother Castle, the minute I met you, I knew you was a man of God. Old women used to come up and tell me that. They'd say, your spirit bears witness with my spirit, and it proves you're real. No, it don't. No such thing as that in the Bible. There's no such thing as your spirit bearing witness with my spirit. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I get it. I ain't stupid. I know sometimes you think, man, I believe they're real. I believe they got the same thing I got. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible said his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Okay? I want to point that out. Now, verse 17, here's where I want to get to. And if children, then heirs. That means your inheritance. Heirs of God. Look at this, y'all. Joint heirs with Christ. You know what he's going to get? Everything. All the glory and riches of heaven and earth. And we are joint heirs with him. I don't know if you're an heir. I was an heir and didn't even know it. When my mom passed away 7 years ago, it came up what we're going to do with our house. And my house sits in the middle part of mom's land. And my sister lives in Old Fort. She's got a house, got a cabin over in the mountains. Her and her husband are fine, well off. Not like rich, but they're not hurt. And she called me and she said, Danny, I don't want nothing down there. You just take it and do whatever you want to with it. And it has turned to be a horrible nightmare. That inheritance stuff sometime in this world ain't what it's cracked up to be. If anybody ever inherited anything, I'm paying taxes. My taxes are due right now, $1,700, because I pay taxes on 27 acres of land, and I use one, and 26 of it's woods like that up yonder. I thought about selling some of it. I thought about some, I don't know. But anyway, I got stuck with every bit of it. I had to pay for it to be surveyed. But anyway, I guess I inherited that. My mom and dad, my other sister passed away, so I wound up with my mom's house. It's always something. Pipes busting. My daughters took advantage of me, two of them, and lived in it for a year while they were building new houses. And I've just been used and abused ever since this happened. That's the way it feels. I don't know if anybody have any rentals. Does anybody have any rental? Listen, it can be a nightmare. It can be all right, a little help, but by the time you think you're getting somewhere, something tears up. And then when they move out, the carpet smells like cats and everything else. And they wasn't even supposed to be in there. But anyway, you're an heir. We're an heir. We're going to inherit. Like I said, my inheritance, buddy, it ain't going to be 27 acres of land and bills and taxes to pay. There ain't going to be no taxes on that place where we're going. I got to say this, and I'm through. I've done took enough time up here. Number 7, I received eternal life. I received it, eternal life. John 10. Look at John 10. And I'll show you 2 verses, and I'm through. You know what happened to you when you got saved? You got eternal life. John chapter 10. Look at verse 27. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody. One old preacher got up and he said the Father ain't gonna pluck you out. He said the Son ain't going to pluck you out. He said the Holy Ghost ain't going to pluck you out. And they're the only one what's in the plucking business. Amen. There ain't no man can pluck you out of his hand. Old mean boss man down at work. Old wicked wife you got to put up with. Old mean daddy or husband or aunt or uncle. They can't pluck you out of his. Nobody can get you away from God. Nobody. Nobody. He said, well, he made me backslide. No, 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 no. Sure didn't. Let me give you one more verse, chapter 17. And you can shout all the way home on this one. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. We're in John 17, 1. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look here, here's the definition of eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. If somebody asks you a definition of eternal life, there it is. This is life eternal, knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is eternal life. You know when you're going to die? When he dies. You know how you're going to live? As long as he lives. You're in him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, people. There's a lot of people believe if you make a mistake, you're not saved no more. You got to get saved again. Da, da, da. You know, we'll get into that. We've studied that before. I'm going to tell you something. Falling down in an airplane is a lot different than falling out of an airplane. That's it in a nutshell. You can fall down in an airplane. You stumble. People's done it. It happens all the time. You're walking back through there and they hit a bump, boy, you'll stumble like you can fall in an airplane. Now you fall out of one, that's different. That's a whole different ball game. But you can't. You know what happens to me and you when we fall? We fall down in him. You ain't falling out of him. You ain't falling out of him. You fall down in him. You know what you ought to do? Shout all the way home, y'all. All the way home, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm in him, he's in me, I can't get out of him, no man can pluck me out of his hand, I'm his forever and ever and ever and ever. But if that don't make you have a shouting spell, you don't believe it. You don't believe it. All right, I'm done. That's what happened when I got saved. Now, we'll take just a minute here. I noticed some of you looking.